God of glory, Ezekiel 43. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the visions which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name. They nor their kings, by their harlotry or with their carcasses of their kings on their high places. When they set their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost by my doorpost with a wall between them and me, they defiled my holy name by the abominations which they committed. Therefore, I have consumed them in my anger. Now, let them put their harlotry away and the carcasses of their kings far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its ordinances, all its forms and all its laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. Ezekiel 43:1-12. In this passage of Ezekiel 43, it is after a very tumultuous time for Israel, in which in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it speaks of the huge war that is coming, where Gog and their allies attack Israel, and there's great destruction. And then in Ezekiel 40, a new city and a new temple is built, in which the descriptions of the temple and the gates and the inner courts and the sacrifices and the dimensions of the sanctuary are given, including the priest's chambers and the outer dimensions of the temple. Therefore, Ezekiel 43 is the temple, the Lord's dwelling place, and the Lord's dwelling place is described as the return of the Lord's glory to the temple and to Israel, specifically Jerusalem. Now, the east, when God brought him to the gate, the Shahar, it looks towards the east, or the direction of the four, or the eastward direction from Jerusalem, which would be over the Jordan and towards the Middle East, Iraq, Iran, and so forth. And the glory of God, the Kavod, his heavy, weighty presence, his divine manifest presence in this dimension, came from the east. And his voice was like the voice of many waters, and it shined with his kavod. And the earth was full of the glory of the Lord, according to the appearance of the vision, which is the appearance which Ezekiel saw when he came, when I came to destroy, that is to decay or to cast off the corruption, to purge the corruption of the city and the land. You see, God is a holy God, and he does not dwell in the midst of a profane and defiled and unclean land, because he's holy. And his statutes and his ordinances and his plans for the temple will be put in place the way he wants them to be before he returns with his divine manifest presence. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, which is the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the kavod, the glory of the Lord, filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, the man that stood beside me. And he said, Son of man, the place of my throne. Now, this version of throne is properly a cedar stool that is covered with a canopy. And the place of the soles of my feet, where I dwell in the midst of the children, those who build a family name of Israel, the symbolic name of Jacob, forever and for my holy, that is holy as Kadosh, 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 and shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings, by their whoredoms, that is idolatry, prostitution, infidelity, nor by the carcasses, which is to say an idolatrous image, whether a corpse or dead body. Peher is also referred to as a idolatrous body of their kings, Melech, in the high places, the elevated and high places. No more defilement in the settings of their thresholds. Okay, it means the vestibule, the entryway, and by my thresholds and their posts. That would be the post as a doorpost, and their walls, which is a sidewall, between me and them. They have even defiled, polluted my holy Kadosh name. And they have brought shame, Shem, Hashem, on the name of the Lord God by their abominations, their disgusting immorality that they have committed. Wherefore, I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoredoms, their adulteries and idolatries, and the carcasses of their kings' whoredoms and dead bodies far from me, and I will dwell, lodge in the midst of them forever into eternity. Thus, Son of Man, show the house, Bayit, to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities and perversities, immoral evil, their mischiefs, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all they have done, show them the form of the house. Now, and if they be ashamed of all they have done, in other words, if they repent, then show them the form, the pattern of the house and a fashion thereof, of the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof, all these forms. In other words, show them the blueprints, the model, and thereof, and of all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms, the judgments, commandments, and thereof, and all the laws. Now, judgments and commandments I had therefore write. Okay, describe them, record them, prescribe them, institute them in their sight, that they may keep the whole, all of it, everything that God says, form, as in the sense of a rock, which would indicate Yeshua the rock, and all the ordinances, the customs and manners and statutes, and to do them. This is the law, the Decalogue, the Pentateuch, the Torah of the house. And the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about, shall be most kadosh, holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. This is how to keep it holy and to set apart, aside all profanity and to cleanse it, as in the feast of dedication, and to make it holy, and set up the ordinance, statutes, laws, and judgments according to the dictates of God, and not the profane and idolatrous altars that were erected there at that time, and that, shame upon shame, are erected in Jesus Christ's household, whose temple he is the head of. Now, this particular passage in Ezekiel, really the latter parts of Ezekiel after the Gog-Magog war, begs a lot of questions about how this is going to play out, as this, the dimensions of this particular temple, titled Ezekiel's Temple, has never been built. So what does this mean? Is there going to be a rebuilt temple? And the God of glory is going to be there? Well, let's look, just before we segue out of here, these are questions whose application are still a mystery. Ezekiel 48:30, the last several verses, it says, these are the exits of the city on the north side, measuring 4,500 cubits. And the gates of the city shall be named after the tribes of Israel, the three gates northward, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, and one gate for Levi. On the east side, 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, and one gate for Dan. On the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, and one gate for Zebulun. On the west side, 4,500 cubits, with their three gates, one gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, and one gate for Naphtali. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and they shall name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. The divine presence, the kavod, the glory of God is there. Let's make our way into the fulfilled or the restored covenant, the new covenant of Yeshua. But first, let me go to Haggai and say this: according to the covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, fear not. Haggai chapter 2, verse 5. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come and will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9 regarding the earthly sanctuary. Before we look at the shift, Hebrews explains the shift, the covenant shift of the new covenant. Hebrews 8, 7 through 13 says that, well, let's go up to Hebrews 8. Now, this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, that is, God said to Moses, see that you make all the things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Then indeed, the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went only once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this was that the way into the holiest of all was not yet the way made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience concerning only foods and drinks, various washings and fleshy ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Now, we are going to go into what the Reformation is and how he looks. But Christ came as the high priest, the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. And he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Therefore, how do we start out saying? He was the ministry of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which is eternal and in heaven. Let's have a look at this. Let's look at this. As it says in Haggai, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former.